Now, some analysis of today's testimony by National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. Here to join us are Reuel Marc-Gerecht, formerly a Middle East specialist for the Central Intelligence Agency, now with the Washington think tank, the American Enterprise Institute. Welcome once again.
Thank you.
And Daniel Benjamin, who served on the National Security Council staff in the Clinton White House, where for a couple of years he was responsible for counterterrorism programs, now at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, another Washington think tank. Welcome once again.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start by asking both of you about a document that was discussed a lot today. It's only partially declassified. The commission wants it fully declassified. This was the Presidential Daily Briefing, or PDB, Presidential Daily Brief, of August 6th, 2001. And today, Democratic Commissioner Richard Benvenisti asked Dr. Rice about that document and about threats to the U.S. Was there a reference in it to Al-Qaeda sleeper cells in America?
I don't remember the Al-Qaeda cells as being something that we were told we needed to do something about.
Isn't it a fact, Dr. Rice, that the August 6th PDB warned against possible attacks in this country? And I ask you whether you recall the title of that PDB.
I believe the title was Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States.
But, Dr. Rice said, this was a historical document. It was prepared, she said, by the CIA at President Bush's request. It was not an explicit warning. Daniel Benjamin, how important might the contents of this document be in figuring out whether there was either an intelligence-gathering failure or a policy-making failure or a failure of law enforcement prior to September 11th?
Well, we won't really know until we see the document, and the White House has done its very best to erect wall after wall around the PDBs, which is kind of interesting because they're not that interesting documents. There's much more interesting intelligence in longer reports, but perhaps because these go to the president, they're particularly sensitive. One point about this particular issue that I have always found puzzling, within the counterterrorism community, with the possible exception of the FBI, I don't think there was any doubt after the attacks of August 1998 on the East African embassies that bin Laden wanted to attack the United States at home because they had shown that they could operate well out of area and they were making a declaration, we can attack you anywhere. So I think it's appropriate that the commissioners are pursuing this, but it has become a very, very charged issue. And I guess it's a proxy for the question, didn't you realize they were going to come after us in the U.S. at some point?
Reuel Gerecht, what is a PDB? What does it look like? What does it read like?
Well, it's usually a fairly short document because they don't usually want to tax senior officials to read too much. I mean, I read more than a few of them. The highlights usually were Intercept or the colored graphics. The analysis within is usually fairly mundane. You can usually read the same thing in the open press. So, I mean, they are eminently forgettable documents, with some exceptions. I mean, I would agree with Daniel that until we actually see it, you can't properly gauge it. And historically, the intelligence community has been very leery, unwilling to let those things become declassified.
I want to ask you about some of the threats that were reaching ears in Washington in the summer of 2001. We learned from Richard Clark the air was full of intelligence tips and threats. Dr. Rice said today that those threats were often as vague as something very, very big is going to happen or expect really big news. They were, she said, more often about targets in Israel or at the G8 summit that summer in Genoa. She mentioned North Africa once, not the U.S. As someone who used to gather intelligence for a living, does this suggest to you that U.S. agents actually had gathered enough information pre-9/11 to tip off a government as alert as to, say, Washington now is, or were they just hearing chatters that was simply chatter?
I think it's more the latter. I don't think there ever was one piece of intelligence you could look at and a light bulb would go on. I mean, I think it's very clear that if you look back at the attack on the U.S. embassies in Africa in 1998, if you look back most revealingly at the first attempt on a nuclear destroyer in Aden in January of 2000, the USS Sullivan's, I mean, that attempted attack was a pretty bad failure on the part of Al-Qaeda. They sank the skiff that they had loaded with conventional explosives, yet the agency had no idea that it happened. There was no information coming from any direction, and I think inside of Al-Qaeda there probably was a lot of noise about that operation being such a fiasco. I think it's very, very clear that we really had no source information anywhere close to the inner circles of Al-Qaeda that could have given you the type of information you'd want.
Daniel Benjamin, you agree with that?
I agree with Rule for the most part. I would say that since we have had a history of such chatter, such intercepts from Al-Qaeda in the past, in which they spoke about, for example, an impending Hiroshima, and that such messages usually correlated with a major spectacular event, then certainly a very heightened level of alert and of activity was warranted on that basis, and really for all points of the compass. But no, we certainly did not have the specifics that it was going to be in Washington and New York.
Well, here was a big question about the degree of activity that was warranted and that was set in motion in the summer of 2001 based on all that threat. Dr. Rice said today that the government was put at battle stations. She was disputing much of what Richard Clark has said earlier. Every agency was told to get on the stick. All 56 FBI field officers were tasked. But this is from a question posed by Democratic Commissioner Jamie Gorelick about what the FBI was ordered to do and what it actually did.
You indicate in your statement that the FBI tasked its field offices to find out what was going on out there. We have no record of that. The Washington field office, international terrorism people say they never heard about the threat. They never heard about the warnings. They were not asked to come to the table and shake those trees. SACs, special agents in charge around the country, Miami in particular, no knowledge of this.
Nothing doing with the FBI is what Jamie Gorelick and another commissioner reported that the staff has found from the 9/11 Commission. First of all, does this seem to square with you, with Condoleezza Rice's image of a White House that really was very active, even though it wasn't having meetings with the CIA director and the FBI director and the cabinet secretaries? Is it possible, given relations with the FBI? And is it a significant lapse if it was what happened? Daniel Benjamin.
The whole thing is completely plausible to me. The FBI was sitting at the table for the top meetings in the counterterrorism community for years, and we found them to be, you know, largely non-responsive and simply not alert to the threat. Dick Clark tells the story of having gone to visit a number of field offices and having had a meeting of all the special agents in charge in Florida in, I think, 2000 or early 2001. And his understanding from speaking with them was that if Al-Qaeda had been in the next storefront to the office, they wouldn't have known it. The FBI simply did not recognize the threat.
Now, your ex-National Security Council staff, Ruel, your ex-CIA, you have a similar impression of the FBI's role here?
Sure. I think the FBI has got a lot of internal problems, and there are many disconnects between headquarters in Washington and the field offices that are in many ways like principalities. I would say, though, I think this goes to a larger issue. I think it's very, very much true that senior officials in Washington often think they're doing a great deal about a national security issue. But out in the field, whether it's with the CIA in stations and bases or the FBI in the United States, in actual practice, they're actually not doing very much at all. I mean, I certainly remember many instances when I was overseas with the agency, and I would be seeing commentary either in the press or in official statements about what we were doing overseas, and certainly it didn't match at all what the practice was.
Well, Ruel Marc Gerecht of the American Enterprise Institute and formerly of the CIA, and Daniel Benjamin of the Center for Strategic and International Studies and formerly of the National Security Council staff, thanks a lot to both of you.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.